You're listening to A Country Breakfast here on RN. I'm Edwina Farley. Well, single-use plastic bags were banned in Australian supermarkets last year, but getting rid of plastic packaging in major food industries like meat and vegetables is not that simple. Most meat is still sold wrapped in plastic for hygiene reasons, while plastic punnets are still used to pack small fruit like blueberries, raspberries and strawberries. But that doesn't mean innovative farmers and producers aren't trying to come up with solutions. Our reporter Jess Davis heads out to see how they're going.
In this boning room in Melbourne's north, Gippsland beef producer Paul Crock is preparing meat to go out to his customers.
So this is our carcass chiller. So this is where all the bodies come in from the abattoirs. And basically there's no plastic involved at this point.
But after the meat is portioned up, each piece is put into plastic bags.
So these are the different size bags that we would use. So each cut has a different size bag. Now this is the cryovacker. And the principle of cryovacking, people would understand, is to take the air away from the meat. So what happens is the meat is placed in the bag, placed in the cryovacker, and then it's sealed. And so that process sucks the air out of the bag.
So without plastic, you can't really vacuum pack your meat.
Well, we can't vacuum pack the meat. So what happens is, we would have, on fresh meat, we would have a 3 or 4 day, maybe 5 day shelf life on the meat. Once it's cryovacked, under the Prime Safe rules, we can hold that for 8 weeks. So it's a health issue, and that's a longevity of beef, and that allows the meat to age and also increases in eating quality.
Paul Crock says for the meat industry, plastic is paramount.
Without putting too fine a point on it, meat uses a lot of plastic. It kind of has to use a lot of plastic. So that's kind of the dilemma that we're in at the moment. But there are people all over the world looking at options.
He's in discussions with European companies who are looking at plastic alternatives and has even floated the idea of casings for meat, similar to what you'd find on the outside of a sausage.
The move for us into minimising plastics is very, very important. We want to be remaining ahead of the curve and look at ways that we can minimise plastic.
But Melbourne butcher Tony Montesano says there's no simple solution.
Unfortunately, you've got to use some item. You can't exactly have just a flesh of meat and then where they put it, they can't exactly put in their pockets.
He allows his customers to bring their own containers.
We're happy to pass the meat items into their own containers and then they take them home themselves. So that's probably one way that we've eliminated our part of it.
But in Coles and Woolworths, customers aren't allowed to bring their own containers to the deli. In a statement, Woolworths said the primary issue is food safety and the potential contamination risks of bringing non-sterilised containers into meat, seafood and deli departments. And it's not just on the meat aisles and in the deli that plastic abounds. Fruit and vegetables also rely heavily on plastic packaging.
It's a lot of plastic, yeah. For us, it's concerning, and I think the industry as a whole is quite concerned by it and is working towards how we can, you know, work with our customers as well to address this as a sort of industry as a whole.
Natalie Bell is a blueberry farmer from Lismore in New South Wales.
There's a tolerance for single-use plastic where there is an actual really, you know, a need. And so blueberries is something at this point in time that you can't put it in something else until we've sort of had the time to get it through our testing system and actually find the right thing that would last on the shelf, would basically last once you get home in the fridge, and then also can be disposed of in a biodegradable way.
She's hoping to have a plastic-free solution in the next 12 months.
We're already halfway through, and that's, you know, we're doing this research already. It's not something that we're turning our back on. It's something that we see as a major driver to consumers, and we want to join the consumers in this space as well. One of the things is economies of scale, and the more we can get into things, the more we can use it, the more cost-effective it will become. And so if we can work it as a collective agricultural industry, we'll have a much better thing of getting it to be cost-effective for farmers and also cost-effective for consumers.
On a strawberry farm in central Victoria, Alan Short has come up with his own solution. He's making punnets out of offcuts from the timber industry.
These would normally be glued to particle board. They'll have faults in the end sometimes, or they'll just be extra length. and they're cut off to suit the size of the particle board. And as I said, all these were just going into landfill. So now they're being stacked up and given to us, and we're making full use of them. So the heat's critical, not enough and they'll flatten out, too much and they'll burn and become weak and brittle. From there, we have the basics of a container, and then I pre-bend these arms and I'll start the weave.
He started making them after his neighbour, farmer Pete Mania, brought him a punnet of strawberries in a plastic container.
The thought process to begin with was just to get enough boxes that we'd be able to service our needs for the next little bit. Since then, we've kind of recognised that there is a bit more of an opportunity, and not only that, to be able to use all of that waste product that we've got access to, because we're only really looking at one small plant and there's lots of other ones around. That, yeah, we've started to slowly explore, you know, whether there is other interest in it.
So far, the pair have made over 3,000 punnets. But scaling up an operation like this one for the industry at large will be more difficult.
We're not going to change the industry, but we're going to do our little bit. And again, I can't help but think taking someone else's waste product and turning it into a useful resource isn't a good thing.
Pete Mania says it's all about getting the right price.
Got something that is completely cost comparable to other products that are much less environmentally friendly, it takes that conversation out of it, which then it's pretty hard to go, well, why aren't you using the environmentally friendly option when there's no cost benefit or there's no other benefit, which means that it becomes an easy conversation to have later on. So
beef producer Paul Kroc agrees it will be harder for the whole industry to get on board, but he hopes for now the market will respond.
Farmers can't cop the costs of all of this stuff. You know, we are doing all of this work environmentally on the farm, and we want to be able to, or we hope, that the market will reward us for our environmental efforts on farm.
Gippsland beef producer Paul Kroc, still with recycling and sustainability, but this time looking at getting rid of plastic milk bottles and replacing them with glass. A small Victorian dairy company has taken the plunge, selling its milk in old-fashioned recycled glass bottles. It's proving a hit with customers who are keen for a trip down memory lane. Here's Jess Davis again.
Four of the glass bottles, please, and a feta and brine.
It's a Saturday morning at a farmer's market in Melbourne, and people are lining up to buy milk in glass bottles.
Thank you for bringing the glass bottle back.
It's all right.
Matthias Schultz is from Schultz's Organic Dairy in Timboon, southwest Victoria.
We're at the Collingwood Children's Farm down on the Yarra River here, so it's probably as close to a farm setting or a country setting as you can get in Melbourne, which is really good for the atmosphere.
And people are loving the glass bottles?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's quickly becoming one of our most popular products. So.
And why do people like it, do you think?
I think people are sick of seeing in the media and in the environment all this waste. So I think they're moving towards a more sustainable packaging.
I didn't know if you want the lid or not.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
oh,
we
do. Try to recycle. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
just good. The label.
I've been to the farm many years ago, so I know where the milk's from, and that's the whole point about farmers markets, isn't it? Where you actually have a connection with the farmer, and you know where the milk, where the produce is grown, you know how it's grown.
That's Max, one of the Schultz's many loyal customers.
We used to buy the plastic and then put it in the recycling, like, you know, everybody should. And there's always that element of you never really know where it's ending up. Is it being recycled properly? You feel good because you put it in the right bin and sent it off, but you don't know whether it really is being recycled.
Matthias's brother Simon Schultz started the organic dairy in 2005 as a side business to his family's farm. He says the glass bottles started as a trial after growing pressure from his customers.
I suppose the persistence from some of our warrior customers, I suppose, made me, you know, and the fact that we're organic and we already do so much to the sustainability of the farm and the environment here on site, but the one thing that we weren't tackling was the sustainability and the waste and the packaging.
And since day one, the bottles have been a runaway success.
We were conservative. We thought, well, we'll bring a handful of crates. You know, it might have been 20 bottles, 30 bottles. And we sold that out, I think, within about half an hour. And we got angry customers, frustrated that we'd let them all know that we're going to bring it, and we sold out. And then the week later, we thought, oh, we'll double that again. You know, and same thing happened, similar time frame, you know, within a half an hour to an hour, sold out.
The Schultzes are now producing 200 to 400 bottles a week, depending which markets they go to, and they're selling out every week.
The farmers' markets are a testing ground for me, for all products that I, anything that I bring in or new, I always test my most loyal customers, and it's always at the farmers' markets. It's something that we don't retail, so you know, continually increasing the demand, and there's still huge demand from retailers now for wanting us to get the glass bottles to them, you know, not just to the farmers' markets. So that's the next goal.
But the biggest challenge to increasing glass bottle production is turning it into an automated process. At the moment, the cleaning, bottling and labelling has to be done by hand. Simon Schultz says they're looking at ways to fund an investment to automate the glass bottle process.
We're gearing up to potentially do up to 10,000 bottles a week, which would save around 500 kilos of plastic a week.
But it's not just about living more sustainably. For long-time customer Max, it's also about the flavour.
I reckon the milk tastes better. It's also that lovely kind of retro thing about opening the top and having the cream on top and scooping it off and eating it. And I think it does taste better.
That was Max, a customer from Caulfield North, ending that story by Jess Davis.